Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, or welcome to everybody, the Pens and Slip Podcast, your grandma's favorite podcast, in fact. We are so excited you're here. And my name's Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
And we're back after about a month, over a month off.
Yeah, it's been a while.
If you guys caught our last episode, we did a preseason season overview with Lucas Wester of the Pens Cast. Go check it out.
Yeah, check that out.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
And
the official sports betting partner of the Hockey Podcast Network.
That's right.
And of the Pens and Stuff Podcast.
And of the Pens and Stuff Podcast. That is actually true.
Yeah.
But today we are predicting things because those are always guaranteed to go wrong.
Yeah.
We did have a podcast with Lucas Wester of the Pens Cast. That was predicting things. But the audio got corrupted or something and it sounds like garbage.
Super.
So I made an executive decision as the executive producer to not produce the show, that episode.
Nice.
So,
nice.
But congratulations. This is our 100th episode as well.
Woo!
Amazing.
100 episodes of the Pens and Stuff Podcast.
That deserves some applause.
Pens and Stuff Podcast. Yeah,
some applause. There we go.
Amazing, amazing.
We got some applause going there. It's
love
a good
that.
Thing.
Love that for us.
Good. But yeah, the season is 4 days away.
Oh, I can't wait.
Very excited. Well, 3 days away, I guess. And before it opens with a nice triple header that they evenly spaced out this time. First game starts at 5:30, second game starts at 8:30, third game starts at 10:30.
It's about the only time that that's going to happen this year.
But hey, we'll take
unfortunately.
It. Although... Last year we said so much about how the NHL scheduling sucks. Like, other sports do the exact same thing. Like, I watched quite a bit of baseball near the end of the baseball season this year.
Yes.
And baseball doesn't do it very well either.
Well, baseball also, but when they get to the playoffs, they do it.
That is true.
Absolutely the way you should be doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a game early in the afternoon, and then the next game starts at about the fifth inning of the first game, and then the next game... Every five innings, a new game starts.
The reason they can do that with postseason action, though, is because, people are a lot more invested in postseason baseball.
That's true.
And like, you're not going to get people to get off work for a regular Wednesday afternoon to watch just some old game at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Well, that's true, but yeah, the NHL scheduling, for the most part, this season is. Pretty well buns.
And your breaking news, we are currently recording Friday, October 6th, in the middle, like basically exactly in the middle of the final preseason game of the season for the Penguins. And I just looked down and it is now 3-3. It was 3-1 earlier, Buffalo. Yeah. And nice. Now Pittsburgh has come back and tied it. So
two goals in how many minutes?
I don't know. It was very quick right there. But anyways.
It's 4-3. It's 4-3 now.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What is going on?
Goodness gracious.
I should have hammered that Penguins plus 150.
Good grief.
Or 150.
Marcus Pettersson.
On the money line.
Marcus Pettersson scoring a goal. Lars Eller scoring a goal.
DOC scoring the first one.
Yeah.
Legend.
Do we know who scored that fourth one yet, Andrew?
It's not loading.
It's not up there yet?
No, it hasn't come through yet.
Okay. Oh, there it is. It's on the app, but the goal score is not yet. But
we'll figure it out later.
We'll keep you posted on that. But today is
they don't already know about it.
Today they already know about it.
Today is our prediction episode where we will predict things about the NHL, about the Penguins. that are absolutely guaranteed 100% to go absolutely off the rails, even probably before October is over.
Oh, absolutely. But before that, I would like to say a couple things since preseason started and we haven't really talked about the lineup right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I want to talk about the third and fourth lines
that
Sully started tonight in tonight's game.
Oh, yeah.
The third line, he has Eller at center with Colin White, who's on a PTO on the wing.
Yep.
And then this guy, Jansen Harkins, that we picked off waivers from Winnipeg. He's like a 28-year-old center, but he's playing on the wing with Lars Eller. And he just I was listening on my drive home before the podcast tonight. I was listening to the first period of that game, and like his name came up a lot just in listening to it. Like he's grinding, winning battles, you know, taking shots, that kind of thing. So
that's good.
Anyways, I just wanted to mention that third line is looking pretty good. Also, it looks like the top defensive pairing is Letang and Graves. So,
which is what we talked about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A couple podcasts ago.
And Pedersen's playing with Carlson.
Yes.
Which I think that's great.
That's perfect. And that first power play, they have Carlson quarterbacking it and Letang is playing one of the walls. So he's going to be able to show out offensively on that first power play.
Smart.
Which
Smart.
Is exciting.
Couple things I want to say. Drew O'Connor playing first line just scored a second goal. That he was the fourth goal scorer.
He was the fourth goal scorer. That's
way
what I
to
thought.
Go, DOC.
What a guy!
Yep. With assists from Rusty and Graves.
Absolutely.
Second thing, Letang giving up his quarterback position on the power play, huge.
Absolutely huge. But I think
third thing.
Continue.
Sorry, continue.
No. You can go.
No, go.
Say your third thing.
No, go.
Okay, no. Fine.
You already ruined it.
It's fine. I think Letang being on that like. On that, I think Letang not quarterbacking the power play is a really good thing because I feel like that's where we saw him make so many mistakes was fumbling it on the blue line, like quite a bit. But also, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of like offensive skill from Letang.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a lot less fearful to make those offensive plays, especially on the power play. I think he's going to get a lot more power play points this year.
It's going to give him freedom to do Chris Letang things without fear of him doing
Chris Letang things. Because you have Eric Carlson to bail you out.
Right.
Or you have like Ryan Graves to bail you out now. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of an offensive push from Letang this year.
So that power play, correct me if I'm wrong, looks like Sid, Gino, Rusty? Right now until Gensel gets back?
Yes, because...
Rax.
Is it Rax?
Ricard Raquel?
Oh, that makes more sense.
Okay. So that'll probably be the power play even after Jay gets back. Yeah?
Possibly. Or Raquel goes to the second. Either way, I feel like Jake and Raquel are kind of interchangeable there.
Yeah.
Except Jake is more of a net front guy. So I think Jake will probably be the net front guy on the first power play because he's a little bit more physical.
Agree. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah. Excuse me. And what are they calling it now that it's X? I don't know.
You still call it tweet.
From Seth Rohrbach a day ago at practice, the power play lines with Gensel, you know, he was practicing. The power play lines were Crosby, Carlson, Letang, Malkin, Raquel, and Gensel. So when Gensel gets back, he will slot in on that power play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Rax will get bumped down. Second power play is Carter, Harkins, Joseph, Riley Smith, and Rusty.
Jeff Carter's on a power play?
For those defensive zone draws, Dad. Defensive zone draws on the power play.
Or offensive zone draws.
But also, he's probably... Okay, Malkin's running that second unit, or on that first unit. He's probably your best face-off guy between Eller, Achari, and Carter.
And you put Carter on there because he's not getting any other minutes. I mean, if they're playing him on the power play, they're not gonna put him on the penalty kill because you have guys like Achari, you have guys like Eller. You put Jeff Carter on one of the walls and you put him on that power play, if only for the draws, but then you have Raquel. He could set up plays. Like as long as he doesn't Jeff Carter's problem, I feel like, is his speed. Mainly.
What speed?
Exactly. So if you can get like zone pressure and not have to go up and down the ice a lot, I think he'll be all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Because then you still, you have Joseph, you have Smith, you have Rust, you have Raquel when Jake gets back. And then, yeah. Anyways.
I'm still not 100% sure how I feel about that per se, it doesn't matter.
Depending on what happens, Carter might be the odd man out and Harkins might stay on that.
We'll see.
Second penalty or power play.
Let's get into predictions.
Okay.
Penguin focused predictions. Jim, take it away.
Okay. So a lot of things to be excited about this year with the additions and the subtractions and who's going to do what. And really, at least as I view it, it seems like it's pretty much a blank canvas for this team. And I'm not exactly sure where everything is going to settle in and go with it. But let's talk first about who we think statistically will have the best year. In other words, points, goals, assists. Who do you have as the Penguins points leader at the end of the season in April?
So all points. It's not strictly goals, not strictly assists.
Let's just go points leader at the end first.
I think the obvious one is Crosby, but a sneaky, wild card, dark horse candidate for that for me would be Erik Karlsson. I think Erik Karlsson, if he can continue his stride from last year, obviously he's going to have the puck less because you have more playmakers on this team. But I think him being on that second D pairing will get him out there against, the other team's second, third lines. He's going to get more opportunities on the rush because he is a top pairing dude all the way.
That's a good point.
And pairing him with Pettersson, he's going to be able to take more chances than he was able to in
that is true.
San Jose pairing with, I don't even know who he was paired with for most of the year last year. And he's going to be someone who's going to be out there for most of the games that he's, and I think Erik Karlsson is a sneaky candidate. And, you're going to have Crosby, Malkin, Gensel all putting up points. Letang's going to put up points. You got Smith now. You have Rusty who are all going to contribute. So honestly, I think the leading point getter will probably be somewhere around 70 points. Just because we have so many guys who are able to make plays, you're not going to have that one guy scoring 100 like you do with McDavid and Draisaitl because there's no one else on that team to score. The Penguins have depth out their nose in the scoring, top two line scoring.
Okay, and I agree with you 100%. I would say that this is essentially those top two lines are essentially the same top two lines they had last year, and they did nothing. Well, I wouldn't say nothing, but they didn't do what was expected. Would you agree that they underperformed last year?
The core didn't.
I would not actually. No, yeah, I wouldn't. I'd say Crosby, Gensel, Malkin. Malkin had a resurgence. Letang, when he was playing, because he missed about 30 games last year, give or take.
Because of his dad and his stroke.
Injury and bereavement leave and all that.
Yeah.
But I think they did what was expected of them. I think the problem was, again, depth scoring.
Exactly.
Are they going to be able to score? Like Chris Letang put up 64 and 41. That's pretty good for a D-man. Like, I don't know. The more question that I have is, will the depth actually score? Will Ehlers, will Achari, will O'Connor, Nieto, Harkins, Carter actually put up what they're expected to do? And, I think Smith is going to put up points. I think Raquel's going to put up points. Rusty, Gensel, Malkin, Crosby are all going to put up points. Smith, an offensive upgrade over Zucker. You can't say otherwise. And I think Karlsson is an upgrade over Dumoulin on the offensive side of the puck. So I think our depth might be,
Sure. Looking at the stats from last year, Sidney Crosby led the way with 93 points.
Mm-hmm.
Evgeny Malkin, 83. Jake Gensel, 73. Rickard Rakell, 60. Now, Jake's 73 was in four less games. He missed four games this season. But Sid, Evgeny, and Rickard Rakell played every game, 93, 83, and 60. Then Jason Zucker comes in at 48. Brian Rust, 46. Chris Letang, 41. And then 31 and lower all the way down the line. Andrew, you said something about you believe that the top point getter would be only around 70 points this year.
I do.
Maybe
80.
What makes it? Why do you think that would be different? Do you think that would be more balanced out? You think 70, 80, and then like we go down to 15 before we start hitting under 30? Is that what you're saying? Or do you just think team is going to be more defensive and not have to score as much?
I think Jari will take a step up. I will. Okay. I'm hoping. Okay. This is hope. It's like if all things go according to plan, this is the perfect storm to win a cup, guys. The depth is going to start scoring. You're going to get O'Connor putting up 15 goals. You're going to get Achari, you know, and Ehlers putting around, you know, 20, 30 points on the bottom line. Carter's going to actually do stuff he's supposed to be doing. And whoever slots in there, you know, like whether it be Nylander or Harkins, which it doesn't look like it's going to be Nylander, whether it's going to be Harkins or White, you know, and I'm looking for Pierre-Olivier Joseph to start doing some things on the offensive line too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm thinking. It's just going to be dispersed. You know, Chad and PD probably won't get really into the offensive scoring. They're more defensive minded, right?
Right.
But Ryan Graves, he can be sneaky, dishing the puck. He's already got two assists in tonight's game. So, like, I don't know. I'm hoping he, like, I'm just, it's hope. Will it happen? It should. It should happen. That's what a good hockey team does, and this team looks good on paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Yeah, you know who else looked good on paper this year? The Steelers.
Don't bring them up. Don't bring them up.
The eye test.
That's when we thought we had a quarterback.
Yeah, the eye test is making me just sick. Anyway, Abby, who do you think will lead the Penguins in points this season?
If I'm being honest with you, I think this is the year Jake Gensel makes the step. I don't know, like, I mean, obviously it's hard to bet against Sid. So, you know, maybe Jake doesn't lead the team, but maybe he's second, you know, or third, I guess, again. But no, I don't think, he's coming back from injury. He's going to want to, you know, make an impact because this is one of the last chances you have with this core. And like last year, it was the same thing, but now you have management that believes in you.
Sure.
And who's building a team around you that actually has potential to go places and to win a cup.
Sure.
And so you're the oldest team in the league too. So like as one of, you know, I guess Jake's not that young anymore, but as one of the younger guys on this team, he's going to need to take a step up.
I mean,
he's one of the younger guys.
He's one of the youngest
guys. He's one of the younger guys, even though he's
27,
29. I'm not entirely sure. He just had his 29th birthday. Yeah. So he's 29. Yeah,
29.
And so, anyhow, I think he's going to take a step this year. I'm not sure when he's coming back from injury. That could be potentially a problem, but he has been skating. He's been skating full contact. So he could start the season.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow. That's way ahead of schedule.
It's looking to be sooner rather than later.
Sooner than expected.
He's ahead of schedule.
So probably not within the first couple weeks. But probably before November.
I could see him playing tomorrow.
Probably before November. I mean, definitely before November, no? If he's skating full contact now.
Yeah.
Definitely before November.
Yes. Unless there's a step back in recovery.
Right. But anyways.
He will be playing within the next few weeks.
Yes. Hopefully. But that's who I see taking the step this year.
Okay. I am going I am going to go the obvious pick and say Sid, just because I think you know, we've been talking about probably last chance for this team. I had the privilege of being on the Blue Seats podcast with Jimmy Vesey a couple of weeks ago, and he actually told me he had the nerve to tell me that if the Penguins don't win the cup this year, that it's time to blow the team up. Like, Sid needs to go. Malkin needs to go. Letang needs. And this was, I think, Jimmy being a little over the top. And all the other hosts came to my defense, which was pretty cool.
That was nice.
Good.
But yeah, I think a lot of people, not just Penguins fans, but I think a lot of people in the league think that if the Penguins are going to win another cup with this group, this has got to be the year. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. And I think of all of the players on that team, I think the guy who's going to feel that most is Sid. And mm-hmm. so I think that is going to be mm-hmm. the driving factor for him this season. And I think he's going to... I hope, and this is something I shared with them too, I hope he shoots more. I was doing some research looking back on his early days with the Penguins, and he shot all the time. And he scored a lot more than he didn't score. And so mm-hmm. I think if Sid gets back into that mode of saying, screw it, I'm just going to shoot the puck, and I'm gonna take this team where it needs to go. He has that capability still, even at his advanced hockey age. He has that ability to do that. And so I think this is going to be the year that Sid not only leads the team in points, but I think he will lead the team in points by a very wide margin. But that's just me. How about and so I'll start with the goals. Obviously, I think Sid will have the most goals of anybody on the team. Abby, who do you think it will have the most goals on the team?
I mean, it's hard to bet against Sid, right? Like right. when you're talking about the Penguins, like obviously it's 87% likely that it's going to be Sidney Crosby.
What you did there, 87%.
But nice. Honestly, like I could say Sid, and it probably will be Sid, but it could also be any number of guys. You know what I mean? Like, because you still have Gino, and you still have Jake, and you still have Letang, and you have Carlson now. And, like, they're, like you could have any of these guys go hard or go crazy and just do insane things. But in reality, it'll probably be Sidney Crosby. So I'll just go with that, which is boring, but so what? It's fine.
It is what it is. Andrew, who you got?
I'm going to say Jake Guentzel. I think Guentzel's proven that he can score, and I think playing alongside Sid and Raquel for a whole year, hopefully, whole year.
Yes.
None of this switching the lines around.
Well,
keep that first line intact.
It might not be Raquel because they're starting Rest on the first line right now, and they're keeping Raquel with Gino.
Well, then I'll be okay with that too because we've seen that line pop off.
Yes, right? We have.
But what? So, but can I say something? What if?
Yeah, go ahead.
What if they patch back? If, I mean, it depends on what happens in the first few games. If DOC starts on that first line and he pops off like he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And you kind of bring back maybe a little bit the Sid and the kids type of deal with Jake and DOC on his wings. And then you keep that because Russ, Raquel, and Malkin was a really good second line.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
So if you can put DOC and Jake on Sid's wings in half production, like.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Put Riley Smith on the third line. You do what you have to do.
Right. Right. Right.
Anyways, I wouldn't be mad about that either.
And that would bring back some depth, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Depth scoring with Smith on that third line.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say Guentzel just because.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go finish what you're saying. And then
I was just gonna say, you know, all of these things. What does it give us, boys? Options. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Andrew.
But Guentzel has proven that he can put up, you know, He's put up, he had 240 goal seasons. He's was close last year with 36. Like, and
oh, yeah.
I think outside of that COVID year, he's been a consistent 40 goal scorer, like pretty consistently since 18-19. So I think Guentzel with a full season, hopefully. Oh, today's Guentzel's 29th birthday.
Oh, was it today that I saw that post on Twitter?
It's today, yeah.
Must Happy birthday, Guentzel.
But hopefully he gets the injury bug out of his system with this surgery this year, and he plays a full, you know, obviously he's not going to, you know, get dinged and dunked and sometimes, you know,
right,
four games, five games out. But hopefully he gets, you know, 70-plus games, and he just shoots a lot more. And I think him and Crosby will be a nasty duo. If Crosby shoots more, Guentzel's going to be there to scoop up the puck when he can't put it in, and Guentzel knows how to finish around the net. So
agreed.
I think if Crosby shoots more, you know, like Abby said, 87% of the time, well, okay, we'll say 70% of the time Crosby shoots, it's going to go in. This other 17%, Guentzel's going to be right there to put it in, or OC or Rusty or whoever's on that second wing pairing with yeah. Guentzel and Crosby. Mm-hmm. So
it will be interesting. All right, so let's move on. This is our last prediction for the Penguins per se. Who do you believe will be at the end of the year the team MVP? Abby, you start off on this one.
Easy, Tristan Jarry.
Ooh, yep.
If the season goes as well as all of us are obviously hoping, then you got to put it on Tristan Jarry. Because he does not have a lot of depth behind him. Nedeljkovic is serviceable. He'll start 15 games, maybe. You know, Jarry sure. needs to take a step and be able to be healthy, to be consistent, and to be that goalie that we've seen glimpses of the past several years, that all-star caliber goaltender that is inside him somewhere, just hasn't been consistent. If he can take that step, be consistent, be healthy, Jarry will be the MVP by the end of the season.
I can go with that.
That's who I was going to say. I think that's the biggest question mark around this team that's keeping us from being, you know, talked about like a Carolina or Edmonton, is that goaltending position. Everyone laughed. I've been very critical of that contract Dubas gave him, but you looked at the market and the biggest upside goaltender out there was Tristan Jarry.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like giving him that contract, the time, the duration, and the financial compensation that he will get. But if he can play for at least 2 or 3 years, like the goalie we know he can be, or we expect of him to be, then that contract's going to look a lot more pretty, and the Penguins are going to look like serious contenders in the East.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I understand where you guys are coming from as far as thinking Tristan Jarry has to be the MVP for this team. But I'm going to stick my neck out. I know I went Sid, and maybe you're expecting me to go Sid as team MVP, but I think that the team MVP this year, it's going to be Gino. I think Gino is going to do some, I think Evgeny Malkin is going to do some crazy things within this season that will, I think he's going to go on a run, probably like, I'd like to see him go on a run like we saw in 2009 in the playoffs, where he just owned Carolina and it was him and about two or three other guys, and that was it. But I don't know. Something in me is just saying it's going to be Evgeny Malkin this year, and this is going to be his year. So that's kind of where my heart is and what I'm thinking. So we'll be back with some more predictions about the season this year after this from DraftKings. We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, licensee partner, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. We are moving into our prediction contest for the season, and then we'll wrap it up with some big NHL predictions. So, Jim, give us the games we're predicting this week.
Okay, well, if you are new to the podcast, let me just remind you or tell you how our prediction contest works. We have five games each week that we will be choosing a winner on, and then we will also predict the final score of said game. Now, throughout the season, there are each of us, Andrew, myself, and Abigail, we all track one team from the other three divisions. We follow the Penguins because we're a Penguins podcast, but we also want to be an NHL yes. podcast. So we track teams from the other divisions. Now, my teams from the Atlantic are the Toronto Maple Leafs, from the Central are the Minnesota Wild, and from the Pacific are the Calgary Flames. Abby, who are the teams that you're following this year?
I follow, and this has kind of turned into a little bit of a fandom, and I don't want people coming at me saying that being a fan of two teams is wrong, because it's not, and I love Pittsburgh first love, but I also am a big fan of the Dallas Stars, so that's my Central team. My Atlantic team is the Detroit Red Wings. Sorry, that took me a second, and I do follow them, just not quite as consistently as the Stars. And then my Pacific team is Anaheim. So,
okay. And Andrew, your teams?
And my teams from the Atlantic are the Boston Bruins, which has, like Abby said, kind of become more of a fandom than just a follow, which, you know, attack me all you want. I can't get enough of the black and gold, so I had to go for two teams.
There you go. And
anyway, in the Central are the Nashville Predators. Again, gold. Don't. And then in the Pacific, last year was Vancouver, but this year I was granted a
Vegas
movement a little bit lower.
No, Vegas. Lower. I thought you were going. I thought you're going the black gold theme.
No. You would have to do some horrific torture to me to make me become a Vegas follower. But I'm just moving a little bit south of the border, I guess you could say.
Ooh.
To Seattle.
Seattle Kraken. And I'm
following the Seattle Kraken. So
you're taking my team from 2 years ago.
Yeah, you left because they were a dumpster fire, and then you stopped following them, and they did amazing.
See, so maybe Calgary and Minnesota and Toronto need me to switch teams.
Yeah, stop following them, and then they'll actually be good.
Anyway, but as we choose the games, we try to stick with at least one of those teams in each game if we can. Sometimes that's not possible, but that's how we choose the games that we're going to pick. We try to get as many, if we can get two Pittsburgh games in a week, we will. But we don't pick every single Pittsburgh game, because we are a full NHL podcast. So
this
week, here are our five games, all played within 3 days, because the season doesn't start until Wednesday, the 10th. So here we go. We have the first game is, drum roll.
Dad, the 10th is a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm still on last year's schedule. Last year, yeah, we recorded on Sunday and uploaded on Monday. Now we're recording on Friday and uploading on Saturday. Okay, there we go. Now, with that housekeeping out of the way.
Sorry.
Thank you. No, thank you. So the 10th is Tuesday, October 10th, Chicago at Pittsburgh. This is the game that I think a lot of the NHL is looking forward to seeing. It's Connor Bedard's very first game in the NHL, actual regular season game, playing in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. And I was looking at the schedule. You know, Chicago doesn't have a home game until like their fourth or fifth game of the season.
That's unfortunate.
That seems like bad scheduling. But either way, this is what's going on. So we're picking that game. We're picking for Wednesday the 11th. We're picking Montreal at Toronto and Winnipeg at Calgary. And then on the 12th, we're picking St. Louis. I almost said Seattle. St. Louis at Dallas. And then two of Andrew's teams in the second game on that night, Seattle at Nashville. So let's begin. Now, how we normally do this is we will do a the one of us who has the highest score will pick first, and then and then we go down the line. So so because we're not doing that,
we're going alphabetically. Thank you.
Okay, Andrew, Abigail, you're first.
Wait, are we going alphabetically?
Let's go alphabetically. That's a great way.
I was just saying that because I'm AB, so.
I was going to randomize it. I was going to randomize it.
No, I won last year, so I should go first.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Andrew was the winner last year. I came in second. Abby came in last. So that's how we'll do. That's how we'll do the picks.
That's how we started last year too. You won 2 years ago, and so you.
I did, but all I got was $20. You got a freaking hockey jersey.
Okay, someone's bitter.
We're leveling
up. I am
a
little bitter.
Someone's bitter. Okay, so what's on the line this year? We need to smack that out right now.
Well,
are we going to do another jersey?
I say we do a jersey. Yeah.
Sure. We'll buy another mystery jersey from Hockey Jersey.
Mystery follow jersey. Them. Follow them on X. It's mystery. What's their
hockey or HKY jersey with a Z? Jerseys with a Z. So
Z at the end.
Yeah, with a Z at the end.
Okay. HKY jerseys at HKY jerseys
with a Z at the end.
With a Z at the end.
No. It's just HKY jersey.
Is it?
That's their at. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then follow
their
them.
Their title's
there.
Hockey Jerseys with a Z.
Oh, okay.
Oh, their title is okay. Okay. I got it.
HKY jersey at HKY jersey on X and
Instagram.
Is it every week or every month?
Once a month.
Every month.
Yep. Once a month, they put out their tweet for you to reply or retweet or whatever, however it works. Yeah, you have to follow them.
And you get an $85 mystery jersey, value up to $900. You can get autographs, you can get vintage, you can get whatever. All of them are legit. They have officially licensed everything. And I got a Patty Kane jersey, and I also got
Winnipeg Jets jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the not so nice one. Was it the third jersey from last year?
It was one of their alternates. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we'll play for this year. Okay, guys?
Are we
agreed?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, you got the first
pick. Crosby dropped the gloves.
No way he did. What?
In a preseason
with Peyton
game?
Krebs.
With freaking Peyton Krebs.
Peyton Krebs took a high stick from Krebs and Jost. Like, he got sandwiched, and Crosby said, no, not today. Dropped the gloves.
Crosby got crunched? Or who got crunched?
Tang got crunched.
Oh, Tanger.
And Crosby stuck up for his boy.
No, don't go for the head. Crosby knows that you don't do that.
Nice.
At least not in a preseason game.
Nice. Okay. Anyway, Andrew, you got the first pick then. Yes, Chicago at Pittsburgh. This is an 8 p.m. game Eastern time.
And best believe I will be watching. I'm going Pittsburgh with a score of 4-2.
Now, I will say before we go any further, I have written down my predictions in here. They are mine are locked in. I'm not going to change them.
Okay.
Stop peeking.
That's what I said. I mean, I knew what it was anyway.
So my prediction is also Pittsburgh to win this game by the score of 4-2.
Nice.
I think who do you got hitting the game winner? Who's your game winner? Who gets the game winner? Game one.
Who gets the game winner?
Yeah, that third goal for Pittsburgh.
Chris Letang.
Okay, I'm gonna say EK65.
Nice.
Okay, Abby, who you got?
Who's even Chicago's goalie right now? I was just trying to look that up.
I have no idea.
Let me look it up really quick. I'm interested to see. Let's see.
I believe it's someone who is quite a bit of a.
I think these are still preseason rosters.
Peter Mrazek.
Is it Peter Mrazek? Mrazek. Okay. That's who was in my brain, but I'm like, no, yeah. I think he was just. Okay. Yeah. So definitely going to light him up.
He's
the only
goalie right now at Hockey Reference.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh 5-2. Okay. 5-2.
5-2. And who's your game winner?
Drew O'Connor.
D-O-C.
D-O-C.
All right. Next game, Montreal at Toronto. Andrew, who you got?
Toronto 5-1.
I also have Toronto winning this game by a score of 5-2.
Goodness.
Auston Matthews with the hat trick.
Do we go? I don't know. I think Montreal. They just
beat Toronto in the preseason last.
Well, yeah, preseason games don't always mean anything though because they don't start. Did they start their starters?
Both teams were starting their.
See, because I think this could be a step up year for Montreal. I'm not saying they're not probably going to make playoffs, but I think they're going to be they're going to be a lot nastier of a team this year than they were last year. They're going to be a lot more concerning of a team. And I think people are going to underestimate them coming into this season. And then they're going to be like, whoa, these guys actually are a hockey team and they're actually hard to play against.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And
so you're picking Montreal?
I'm going to say Montreal and I'm going to say it's 3-2 in overtime.
3-2 OT. Now with that OT call, let me just tell you how our scoring works. Okay. So if you correctly predict the winner of the game, you get a point. If you correctly predict the exact score of said game.
As long as you have the correct winner.
If you have the winner predicted correctly, you get 2 bonus points if you get the score exactly right. If you get the score exactly right, but you pick the wrong team, you get
no
nothing. You get nada. You get bupkis. Now, if you predict an overtime and you get the correct winner and the correct score, but there is no overtime,
you only get 1 point.
You lose a point. So you would still get 2 points, but you wouldn't get the 1 point.
It's normally, that's
not right. No, you should still get a point for getting the exact score.
You get a point.
You get the point for picking the right winner, 2 points for the score, but then you lose a point for predicting overtime, but there's no overtime.
That's not how we did it last year.
That is exactly how we did it last year.
Pretty sure that's how we did it last year.
Yeah, because it's the exact same template.
But, okay, so we can cut this out. However, I think it was 1 point for the correct score and then an additional point for the, or 1 point for the correct team, an additional point for the correct score, and then if you get an extra overtime, it's 1 more point. If you don't, then it just goes back to 1 point.
Okay, so it's 3 points for correct overtime prediction, which means you got the score, you got the person, you got the team. If you don't get the right score but call it overtime, it's 1 point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Dad was saying it was 3 points and then it goes down to 2 if you get the wrong overtime prediction.
Okay, see, I was doing it this way. I was doing it where you get a point.
Are these your notes from last year?
Yes. Plus one point.
That's got to be how we did it.
I think you're probably right. But this is the way I think we should do it this year, because I think if you only get 1 point and you still get the exact score, you should get at least one bonus point for that. Okay. Even if you miss the overtime.
Okay, then, yeah, then we can do that. But
does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
So
let's
you just get one. Okay, so here is how the scoring goes for our prediction contest. If you get the correct winner, if you predict the correct winner, you get a point. If you predict the exact score of the game where you predicted the exact winner, you get two bonus points for a total of 3 points in that game. If you predict overtime and it goes to overtime and you get the right winner, the right score, and overtime, you get a bonus 5 points for that. No.
A total of...
You get two more bonus points for that so to get
a total of five points.
But if you predict the overtime, you lose a point, and then your prediction only accounts for 2 points.
If you predict the overtime and it doesn't go to overtime, but you get the correct score and the correct team.
Correct.
Yes.
It's kind of convoluted. Don't worry. We know what we're doing. We'll keep the right score. So, okay. So the next game that we have on the docket is Winnipeg at Calgary. This is the late Wednesday game, the 11th. Andrew, who you got in this game? Winnipeg at Calgary.
So this one vacillated between the winner, but it's a 3-2 overtime win for the Calgary Flames. I went with my gut.
Okay.
Calgary Flames.
Fair enough. I have Calgary also winning this game, but by a score of 4-3 in overtime.
See, this
would
is...
you back off?
This is an interesting game to me because I feel like Winnipeg and Calgary, I mean, it'll be just the beginning of the season, so it'll be the first game for them. I feel like they're both weird teams this year, though. Like, you're not sure if they're even going to be good this year or not.
Yes.
So, yes. I'm going to go with the better goaltender, in my opinion, and I'm going to say Winnipeg, and I'm going to say they win 3-2.
Jeff Carter scored at 6-3.
I saw that.
Yep, saw that too.
It's exciting. Jeff Carter's actually doing things. Nice. And both of these teams started...
His headshot this year?
He looks so happy. He's so chill. I feel like there's so much less pressure on Carter this year.
I think you're right.
He's going to be playing fourth line ring, and he's just living his life, man. He's just doing his thing. Best job ever, you know, just chilling.
Living his best life.
Living the dream, man.
All right, next game in our prediction contest is St. Louis at Dallas. Andrew, who you got?
St. Louis at Dallas. This one, simple. 4-0 Dallas win.
Okay.
Just wait. You'll know. Yeah. Wait till we predict divisions.
Okay.
Got some things to say.
Fair enough. Oh, my turn. Yeah, I've got Dallas winning this game as well by a score of 4-1. I think Otter lets one in. I don't think he starts out with a shutout.
I love Otter. He's amazing. However, I think he'll also let one in too. I say Dallas 5-1.
All right.
I'm so excited to watch the Stars play again. All right. First line is so good.
All right, last game of the week, Seattle at Nashville. Andrew, who you got in this one?
Seattle 6-3 win over Nashville. No. Seattle 3-2. Soros is not giving up 6 goals. Sorry.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I forgot who was in that for the...
Fair enough.
I have Seattle winning this game by a score of 5-3. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than Andrew thinks.
But Seattle 2-0. That's it. Thanks for coming.
2-0. All right, there we have it. Shall I review?
Yes, really quick? And then I have something random that I just remembered happened in the league, and I want to say something about it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so here are our predictions for this year, or for this week, excuse me. Chicago at Pittsburgh. We each chose Pittsburgh. Andrew 4-2, Jim 4-2, Abby 5-2. Montreal at Toronto. Andrew and Jim both picked Toronto. Andrew 5-1. Jim 5-2. Abby has Montreal winning this game 3-2 in overtime. Winnipeg at Calgary. Jim and Andrew both have Calgary to win it. Andrew 3-2 in overtime. Jim 4-3 in overtime. Abby has Winnipeg winning in regulation at 3-2. St. Louis at Dallas. All of us picked Dallas to win. Andrew 4-0. Abby 5-1. Jim 4-1. And Seattle at Nashville. Everybody's picking Seattle. 3-2 for Andrew. 2-0 for Abby. And 5-3 for Jim. And good luck to all of us this season. It's great to be back predicting hockey.
Boom.
Boom.
Okay.
All right.
A little piece of NHL news that I would like to discuss briefly. Tampa Bay Lightning, Andre Vasilevsky, back surgery. He's out for 2 months.
Ooh.
What are our thoughts?
Ooh. I did not hear this.
You didn't hear it?
No, I did not hear this.
He had a herniated disc in his lumbar.
Why are you laughing at someone's pain? That's not even nice.
Sorry.
Good grief.
I just think the term lumbar is funny.
A disc.
Disc.
In his lumbar.
Anyways, okay. he's expected to miss the first 2 months of the season. Thoughts?
It's going to hurt Tampa. They're old. They're slow. He's one of the main reasons they win a lot.
Yep.
And it's going to be hard.
It's going to be a long season for Tampa Bay if they have to start that. And it depends. It depends on, you know, if they can keep pace, if they can win some games in those first 2 months without Vasilevsky. But gosh, that's without your number one goaltender. That's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And then if they're that far back after November, maybe they don't even make the playoffs this year.
I have something to say, though. Mm-hmm. I heard someone talking. I think it was the Empty Netters podcast, if you guys listen to them.
Shut up.
They're really fun, actually. If you haven't listened to them, go give them a listen. Anyhow, they were talking about it, and I can't remember which guy said it, but he was talking about how Vasilevsky hasn't had any true rest in 3 or 4 years.
That's true.
He has 2 months off. He's going to be recovering from back surgery. He's going to be able to focus a lot on, you know, rest. And, like, he's not going to be working his body because, you know, it's a back recovery. You know, you don't put too much pressure on that kind of injury too quickly. And so he's going to be forced to take it slow and to lay off for a while. And, like, could this potentially be really, really good for Vasilevsky? Does he make an even bigger comeback after actually getting rest that he hasn't had? Because, like, even in the summer, you're training, and they've made it to the Stanley Cup 3 of the past 4 years.
That's true.
And so, I mean, I was when I first heard the news about Vasilevsky, I'm like, oh, that's it for Tampa. They're done. But I never thought about the fact that, yeah, Vasilevsky, he could come back from this and be amazing. He could come back from it and be bad, you know, because obviously a back injury is very significant.
Yeah.
But also, the rest could be exactly what he needs to bounce him back to the goalie he was when they made their cup runs. So
it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously you can't do anything without your back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of an important piece of equipment in life.
Yeah.
not just goaltending, but yeah. So there we go.
Anyways,
that's good.
The thing is, though, Vasilevsky has not changed. He had been playing the same way he always has, even this last season when they didn't do much in the playoffs. Vasilevsky wasn't the problem.
That's true.
That's fair.
I don't think watching the Lightning, Vasilevsky's the only consistency they had this last year. It was Kucherov being on IR for forever, I think. Wasn't it this last year that he was
Yeah, Kucherov was out a lot of this season. No, he was out a lot this season, I think.
Oh, no, he played all 82 games this year.
Did he actually? Well, he didn't do much.
Yeah, so it was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago he was on IR. He's put up 113 points.
This past year he did?
A very quiet 113, yeah.
No way did he do that. How did I?
Yeah, Braden Point 95, Stamkos 84, and then Hagel 64.
Kucherov got 113 points.
Yeah.
Where was I? Goodness gracious. I guess I just forget Kucherov exists. But also
they have George Archibald, so.
You kidding me?
I just forget. Goodness. Now I feel bad.
Forget that he's good.
Now yeah. I feel bad. I'm like, oh, he didn't play at all last season. He got freaking 113 points.
You kidding me?
Dang. I'm sorry, Cooch. My bad. My bad.
All right. Before we sign off, we are going to do more bold predictions guaranteed to go wrong. A second round. But this time, we're going to go deep into the NHL. We're gonna dig out divisions, go 8-1 for all four divisions, predict our West and East winners. And then finally, our Stanley Cup winners as well. So let's start in the Pacific. Abby, you want to start us off in the Pacific?
Sure. We're going 8-1, 1-8.
8-1. Let's go.
Okay. So in my 8 slot, I have your San Jose Sharks. I feel like they're going to be the team that just kind of trades everyone at the deadline because they don't have very many pieces left, but the ones that they do, like Tomas Hertl, probably not Couture, but maybe Couture, like those pieces that you still have, like get them out and usher in the new dynasty because it's just not working. So San Jose in number 8. In 7, I have Anaheim. Pains me, but they're not there yet. I don't think they'll take that step this year. Then 6, I have Calgary. They're not as good as everyone thinks. Vancouver is in 5. And then for the top 4, I have LA in 4, Vegas in 3, Seattle in 2, and Edmonton 1.
Okay.
All righty.
Jim?
Okay, my Pacific is from 8-1, San Jose, Anaheim, Vancouver, Calgary, Los Angeles. Here's where it changes.
Yeah.
Edmonton, Vegas, Seattle.
Seattle first?
Yep.
I thought putting Seattle in 2 was first. Was wow. Generous. Like, I think Vegas is probably going to edge them out, in all honesty. But here's to hoping Seattle will beat Vegas to a pulp. Please, to a pulp.
Yeah. So, right off the bat, mine's different than yours. I have Vancouver in 8. I think Vancouver's not good.
Well, they have a new captain this
then
year.
Then Anaheim at 7. Yeah, I still don't think they're good.
Which is why he jumped teams.
Fair enough.
That's why I jumped teams, yeah. I don't want to be following a dumpster fire like you, Abby, with Anaheim. Anaheim at 7.
Hey, Anaheim has a bright future.
Fun to watch.
And
Anaheim's fun to watch.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen on any given night.
That's
but
true.
They also have a super bright future. They have Terry, they have Zegras, they have McTavish, they have Drysdale, they have a good pipeline of
I got
guys
a good core.
The
they
AHL.
Have Leo Carlson.
Which was kind of a disappointing draft pick, if I'm being honest with you, but it's fine.
Fantilli was sitting right there.
He was sitting right there.
They let him go to the armpit of America. Anyway,
Ohio.
San Jose 6, Calgary's 5, the Kings are 4, Seattle's 3, Vegas is 2, and Edmonton is 1.
I don't know how you don't have Edmonton in that first slot, Dad. I just don't know how you don't do it.
It's not that difficult. Abby,
Edmonton doesn't have enough former Penguins on their team.
It's true. Well, Seattle's true. Stacked with former Penguins. You got Tanev, you got McCann, Alexiak, you got, who else do you have? You got more. Oh, you got Justin Schultz.
Daniel Sprung? No, Daniel Sprung's on
Detroit now. Let's go. Daniel Sprung and Kyler Yamamoto. Woohoo. Yamamoto's on Seattle.
Moving on.
The Central.
Am I starting again?
Wait. Who are your playoff teams from the Pacific?
4-1.
Obviously, top 3. You have 4-1?
I have 4-1 in all three, or in all four divisions, it's 4-1, so you don't have to ask. But okay, that's, but who are LA, Vegas, Seattle, Edmonton from 4-1.
LA, Vegas, Seattle, Edmonton? Okay. Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Same.
Just not in that order. Okay.
No.
Hey, Chris Letang scored again. You have five?
You have five from the Pacific?
Dang.
From
the Pacific.
You only have three.
The Flames, the Kings. Yeah, Flames, Kings, Kraken, Knights, and Oilers.
That's fair, I guess. The Central is kind of weak. I'm not going to lie to you. It is kind of weak.
The Central have a top three teams, and then everything else is bottom tier.
That's fair.
Personally. All right, moving on to the Central. Jim, you want to start us off?
Sure. Why not?
Well, you don't have a choice. I'm picking.
I have Detroit in at 8.
The Central?
Yep.
Detroit?
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at Atlantic. My bad. Well, see, I was confused because Detroit's used to always be in the Central. I'm sorry. Arizona.
It makes sense. They're in the Midwest.
You're dating yourself.
Arizona, number 8 in the Central. Andrew, you're going to hate me, but I got Nashville at 7 in the Central.
Yeah.
Chicago at 6. A little better than they were last year, but still not as good as they need to be. I've got Minnesota at 5. St. Louis at 4.
Dang.
I've got Winnipeg at 3. Dallas 2. Colorado at number 1.
You do not have Colorado in 1. They're starting goaltender freaking Alexander Georgiev. I'm disappointed.
That's fine. You can be disappointed. I don't care.
For me, Chicago is in 8th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They still suck. St. Louis is in 7.
Wow.
They have no one. Winnipeg is in 6. I think Winnipeg sells at the deadline. Or maybe before that. Arizona at 5.
Whoa.
I think Arizona's going to take a step. They made some moves in the free agency that I really like. They are a young team, and I think they can make some noise. They have a decent tender in Vlamalka. I think Veggie's going to, you know, take a step up as well. Then Minnesota, just missing the playoffs at 4. Top 3, go Nashville at 3, Colorado at 2, and Dallas in the 1 spot. I think Dallas is going to finally edge out Colorado. I think Dallas is going to make some noise in the playoffs. So,
I concur.
Okay.
Yes, I know you do.
However, I think this is weird. Our Centrals are all very different.
Very combobulated.
I have St. Louis in 8.
Wow.
Arizona 7. Nashville 6. Chicago 5.
No.
Winnipeg 4. Minnesota 3. Colorado 2. Dallas 1. Actually, hang on. No, I want Winnipeg 3, Minnesota 4.
Did you say Nashville in 6?
Yes, I said Nashville in 6. Better than Nashville in 7, like what Dad said.
No. You guys are all underselling Nashville. You gotta...
Bro, who do they have?
They have a goaltender.
Who?
Ryan and a defenseman. Roman Josi. Matias Ekholm. Old. No, Matias Ekholm's not
Matias
on the team
Matias Ekholm's
anymore.
Gone. Right? They have Ryan McDonagh. No, Ekholm's still... Old.
McDonagh, yeah, there you go.
Saros, old. I mean, I could also
Saros
say...
Saros is not old, he's 27.
I could say the same thing about the Penguins. But anyways.
Exactly. Could say the same thing about Dallas, bro.
No, you can't say the same thing about Dallas.
Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin.
That's not their first line. Suter. That's their third line. You got Miro Heiskanen, you got Jason Robertson, you got Roope Hintz. You got Jake Oettinger. That's a young team. You cannot say the same thing about Dallas. Mm. You cannot. And I will not have you saying it again or we will take it outside.
Whoa.
All right, come visit me and we can take it outside.
I will. I'll make the 5.5-hour drive just to beat you up.
Wow. Wow. Okay, kids. By the way, that game, preseason game just went final. Pittsburgh won 7-4.
So boom.
GWG2.
Hey,
Drew O'Connor.
Evgeny Malkin.
Oh, that's true. O'Connor scored the 4th. What?
Nashville. Plus 18 or 1,800, 18-1 to make to win the division. Nashville, 18-1.
Who said those betting lines know anything? They haven't even played a game.
Okay.
These are preseason. This is where we're coming from, bro.
Let's move on to the Atlantic, please.
Also, the Seattle Kraken, 1,100, plus 1,100 to win the Pacific.
Ooh. I have them in two.
No, fifth worst odds.
Oh, fifth worst odds?
No, sorry, fifth best odds. Fourth worst odds.
Oh, that's weird. They have Calgary over
there? They're just above the Canucks, the Sharks, and the Ducks.
Dang. That's funny.
Wow. Okay.
I think Seattle's going to click this year. I think a lot of people think Seattle's going to click this year.
I think
Seattle will click this year. All right, moving on to the Atlantic. I'll start here.
Okay.
All right, so in the Atlantic, I have Montreal. If you have anyone else, you're wrong. Just say that right now.
Okay. Whatever.
To be fair, no. The Atlantic is going to be competitive. I think all of these teams will be...
better than last year.
They will all be competitive. That's all I have to say. Continue.
Okay. Montreal in eighth, Ottawa in seventh, Detroit in fifth, or sixth, excuse me, Tampa Bay in fifth. I'm even more confident about Tampa Bay missing the playoffs and being in fifth now that I know Vasilevsky is going to be out for the first 2 months, maybe more.
Yeah.
You don't come back from back surgery terribly quickly or, you know, it's going to take you a while to get back to where you were.
He's does Boston.
And then I have Buffalo in four, Boston in three, Florida in two, and Toronto in one. And I have Boston, Florida, Toronto making the playoffs.
This is hilarious, Andrew. We have the exact same Atlantic division. Except really? I have Buffalo making the playoffs. Yeah, Montreal, Ottawa, Detroit, Tampa, Buffalo, Boston, Florida, Toronto. Yeah, same exact Atlantic, except, yeah, I have the top four making the playoffs.
That's funny.
That is funny.
That's nice. And DraftKings agrees with me with the betting odds. Toronto, Boston, and Florida are their top three, and those are my top three as well. So
interesting.
Although they have Boston second best to make it, plus 350. Florida plus 450. And Toronto 175. All right, Jim, you're Atlantic.
Yeah, mine's very different. So that's okay though.
It's okay to be wrong.
I'm wrong.
We'll forgive you.
Apparently. All right. So I have Detroit still in eighth. I think they will. I don't think they're going to take any step.
Dude, they got ADB.
Yeah.
ADB is known to do amazing things wherever he goes. You know how much he did in Ottawa?
He helps Ottawa.
So much.
Question. Did they only have him for that last year? Just 1 year?
Yes.
Yeah. It felt like
then they traded him
forever.
To him, it probably felt like 3 or 4 seasons.
But they got Tarasenko instead. Ottawa did. So maybe
I would rather have ADB. I'm sorry.
So
I don't know though.
I've got Detroit in eight. I've got Montreal in seven. I've got Ottawa in six and Buffalo in five. And then I got Tampa in four. Although hearing that news, I might flip flop Buffalo and Tampa, Boston, then Toronto, and then Florida winning the division.
Wow.
People forget that Florida won the President's Trophy like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. When was that? The second.
They were also a wild
card. 3 years ago.
Last year.
Yeah. But I mean, that core is capable of doing things is what I'm talking about. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
They need a dependable goalie is what Florida needs, though.
You don't have to, though.
What was that?
They don't have Huberdeau anymore.
That's true. That is true. But they do have Matthew Tkachuk, who had an incredible season last year.
But I don't know. I'm not saying we're wrong, but you're wrong. I'm just saying.
No, I know. I was saying people forget because I forget. I forgot that they won the President's Trophy just the other day. As in like a couple years
ago. I forget that too.
But then they got first rounded, so it didn't really matter. But, you know, President's Trophy curse and all that.
Yeah, and all that.
That was brutal.
All right, Metro, Abs, you get to start.
I get to start? Oh, yeah, let's go.
Well, I guess it's up to Andrew, but I figured since doing the rotation.
Sure, just take over my job. That's fine.
Sorry.
That's fine. No. Go ahead, Abby.
No, it's okay. Not in my eight slot, I have your Philadelphia Flyers.
If you have anybody else, you're wrong.
What the crap is even going on in Philly? I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't even feel like their team is, like, actually existent. Like, it just feels like Philadelphia is a make-believe because their team just feels so incomplete for whatever reason. When I look at their roster, I'm like, there's no way this is a team. And, like, I don't know. They're just not a very good team.
It's going to be a long year in Philly.
Yeah. I feel bad for Philly fans. But if I weren't a Pittsburgh fan, I would feel bad. They're kind of
But I'll say this.
Obnoxious.
If Philly beats Pittsburgh even once this year, for Philly fans, it will be a successful year.
That is probably true. Yeah.
Okay.
And then in seventh, I have Washington. In sixth, I have Columbus. They're going to take a step up this year. They were looking real good in the preseason. In fifth, I have the Islanders. In fourth, Pittsburgh. In third, I have the Rangers. In second, Carolina. And in first, New Jersey.
Hmm. Okay. Jim?
That's good. All right. My bottom four are the same as Abby's: Philly, Washington, Columbus, and the Islanders. I have the Rangers at four, Carolina at three, Pittsburgh at two, and New Jersey at one. I think Pittsburgh is going to do. I think Jari's going to come through. I think Jari's going to come through, and surprise a lot of people.
I surely hope so. We know he's capable of doing it. It's just like, will he? That's the question.
Yeah. That is the question.
And can he for an entire season?
We'll see. All right, Andrew, what's yours?
All right. I have Philly in eight, Columbus in seven. I really like Columbus, and I think they could move to six, but as long as Washington has Ovechkin, I'm putting them at six. I think Ovi's the only thing that's keeping that team afloat. Kuznetsov wants out, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're an older team. Yeah. And I just don't think that Darcy Kemper, you know, he had one amazing year with Colorado. And, like, he's a decent goaltender, but I don't think he's capable of carrying a team that has as many holes as Washington does.
Fair.
That's so fair.
They're in six. And then here at five, making the playoffs still. But I think the Rangers take a deep step back. I think Igor is fantastic. I like Adam Fox. And I like, you know, that top line of Kreider, Zibanejad, and Panarin. Or those big three. I guess they're not a top line, but the big three. But I think they kind of soiled themselves with making those moves for Tarasenko and Kane, right? Like. Yep.
And now they have
pays a price.
And now they have Blake Wheeler, who's kind of seems kind of like a cancer.
It feels like that way. And I just think, you know, they sold their soul for like two, three great years running at the Cup, and they came up short. And I think that's gonna take the toll. In four, I have the Pity Pens. I think the Islanders are really good. They're at three. I do like the Islanders. And then Carolina at two, and New Jersey. I love this pick so much. I placed a $25 bet. Use the code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook and to get your bonus bets. And so that's what I have. I have them winning the division, the New Jersey Devils.
We all had New Jersey. I don't know. Are people really picking New Jersey to win? I feel like everyone chooses Carolina or the Rangers.
They have the second best odds on DraftKings Sportsbook behind the Hurricanes to win it. It has gone down though since I placed my bets, which I'm kind of frustrated at. Like the
odds,
the line has moved. But yeah, they were +220 when I put down $25. They're now plus 240, just behind the Carolina Hurricanes at plus 180. The Rangers have the third best odds, and your Pittsburgh Penguins have the fourth best odds at winning the Metro at plus 700.
Huh.
So, but the big three bets, though, are the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and the Devils. Yeah, you can get Columbus at plus 18,000. So
I'm not gonna place any money on that, actually.
I mean, you place $1 on Columbus winning, I think you get 180 back if they actually do.
I mean, seems so, like a pretty good deal to me.
$181 back when you lay $1.
But on the I would just lose a dollar.
Believe it or not, they have worse odds than the Flyers.
Okay. Oh, that's weird.
Which is crazy.
So when you were talking about Washington, I have a proposition for you. Okay.
Yes.
Hear me out. If Pittsburgh at the deadline is pushing, Washington is not. Do you? I don't even know if this is even plausible, if they would even do this. I don't know where this guy's contract is or anything. Would you take Tom Wilson?
Oh.
In exchange for two depth forwards and a pick and a half? I don't know. Not a pick and a half, but like two mid-round picks and a prospect and a roster spot. Like one of our bottom six forwards. Do you take Tom Wilson?
Wow. That's not where I thought you were going with that.
Wow.
Jim, go ahead.
I don't know where his contract is. I think they just extended him, actually, so I don't think.
I'm not sure.
They did.
Did they extended just him extend through him?
20, 30, 31.
So there's no
6.5.
Dang.
That's a lot of contract to take
on. I don't
on.
Think I would
for
do that.
For currently a 29-year-old.
Wait, so six more years? So till he's 35?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
And the way and he plays, I'm not a, sure he. I'm not
that's
sure.
That's not going to no age trace. Well.
Yeah.
What?
So he has a modified no trade clause.
So he probably couldn't get traded.
No, I would not. I would not do it. Just because of the cap situation.
I didn't even
the contract.
Yeah.
We just brought in EK, right?
Right.
Who's making a lot of money. But the kind of player that Tom Wilson is, I would gladly bring in someone like that.
I would
gladly.
Too. I would someone like that, maybe not him per se, but someone like that who is gonna get his nose dirty, stick up for your.
The problem is there's no yeah. one like that in the league anymore.
No, there used to be all kinds of guys like that.
It's such
league.
A skilled league that enforcers yeah. aren't valued anymore, which is fine. I guess you know it's what? Safer, but you, it is a little bit disappointing.
If the Penguins are pushing, I will go lace up some skates and I will go play me 5 minutes a night. I will go out and throw the body around like nobody's business.
There you go. There you go, Pittsburgh. You heard it right here.
You'll and, play for,
Andrew will play for,
also,
for league minimum.
I'll play.
League minimum.
Dude.
Okay.
I'll play for $100,000.
Are we
right there?
Are we going to pick the East West Cup champ?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. East West. Let's go. Rapid fire. We're pushing the limit on this episode.
Yes. Who do you want to start?
Jim, go ahead. Give me your West.
Seattle.
Abby.
Out of the West, I have Dallas.
Yes. Okay, and I have the Oilers. I think they're done losing. I think they're ready to, you know, push through.
I think it'll be Dallas.
In the East, Jim.
Go ahead, Aunt Abby.
I think it's going to be Dallas-Edmonton is what I think it is. Anyways.
Oh, in the West? Okay.
In the West yeah. Conference Final.
Okay. I have...
Yeah.
I have...
That would be... Yeah.
I have Pittsburgh coming out of the East.
Sorry.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Of course
bit
you
of a
do.
Homer, Homer, but yes.
100% Homer.
What a
hey!
It's fine.
What are
I'll take
what's
it.
The name of our podcast?
If yes,
tons of stuff. Yes.
If the Penguins make it, I'm not complaining. You're not going to see me complain. However, it's far fetched. That's all I have to say.
Then who do you got coming out of the? East?
An even more far fetched pick because you know me. Your Buffalo Sabres.
Oh my gosh.
Sub him.
Oh my gosh.
Andrew?
I have the Devils.
Yeah, I figured.
Mine's far-fetched. Yeah, what does that but mean? What I does think that mean? I think if
what
Devin
does what mean?
If Devin Levi can,
what does that
like
mean? Figures.
Do no, his thing. I figured you would pick New Jersey as your Eastern Conference team. Because you were high on the New Jersey Devils last year, and they've only gotten better this year.
They have gotten so much better.
I'm not dragging you, buddy. That's a fair pick.
Okay.
That's a fair pick. I'm sorry. No, that's absolutely fair pick.
No, that's good. You want to know something funny?
What's something funny?
I picked these without looking at the betting odds, but the betting odds, the Devils have the second best odds to win the East, and the Edmonton Oilers have the best odds to win the West, tied with the Avs.
Interesting.
Where's Dallas? Is Dallas in third or fourth?
Fourth behind Vegas.
Yeah, I
figured. 700 plus 700.
Vegas is poopy. I don't like Vegas.
Okay, Cup champs.
Okay, but do you realize that Vegas makes these odds, which is why the Vegas Golden Knights are
always up there?
I mean, also though, Vegas just won the Cup, so it's probably not why they're there. Did. But
but they lost, Penn's legend Riley Smith. So
absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Cup. Who's winning, Abby, Dallas, or Buffalo?
Duh.
Buffalo.
What?
What? I think, it's You're absolutely joking, right? Far-fetched. It's not going
to
happen.
That is going to be, if this were to happen, Andrew, if this were to happen, I invite you to stay as far away from Abigail as humanly possible during the Stanley Cup Finals. Because,
dude,
she is going to be an absolute mess.
If Dallas makes the, if any of the teams, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but yes, hockey makes me messy, especially postseason hockey. And if it's people I care about,
I'll tell you what, Andrew, this last week, her Toronto Blue Jays were in the wild card.
Bro, it was heartbreaking.
And they lost both of those games.
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
It was hard being in the same house with this young lady.
Dude.
Let alone standing right next
to
her.
Dude, though, it made me so angry and sad. And I can't handle the fact that Toronto freaking sports teams are the least clutch teams in the entire
universe.
Major sports. It's so frustrating.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay, I want to say,
I love the Blue Jays as well.
I want to say, though, that those games were so bad. Like, it was tough to watch. Blue Jays are not. I'm surprised they even made it that far. Like, the Twins are not good, but the Blue Jays are worse.
No, they aren't, though. Bad. They're not clutch. All of the games up to that point were good games, close games.
Yeah,
this isn't a baseball podcast, but
but
up to that point, they were playing so well, and then they come into this into the important postseason games. They're not clutch. They can't even make a dang hit.
They
can't make freaking RBIs. They can't sack fly. They can't bunt worth a booty.
No. They can bunt. They just don't.
They did bunt once.
Their
and
coach
it worked, kind of.
Their coach does not play the small ball. Anyway, do you want my Stanley Cup champ pick between Pittsburgh and
the
Seattle?
Penguins, right?
Dad, you got me all fired up.
Yes,
and now my
Pittsburgh.
Head hurts.
I'm sorry.
Yes, nice. Pittsburgh.
And who do you got between New Jersey and Edmonton?
Homer.
Do you really think I'm going to pick McDavid to lift the cup?
Nuh-uh.
The Devils are going to win the cup.
You're taking Jacqueline Hughes himself.
Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier, John Marino, Dougie Hamilton.
Johnny
Give
Reno.
Them to me, boys. Give them to me.
Oh, man.
All right, that's a good call.
Talk about former Pens. John Marino, Pens legend. Oh,
I
was so sad
Dougie
when that
Hamilton.
Trade
I was like,
happened.
I don't think Dougie Hamilton ever played for the Penguins.
He didn't.
But
he played for the Hurricanes.
All right, we're gonna lose Andrew
Flames.
Here because I'm
no,
about
the
Bruins.
Sorry,
I'm about to run out of juice on my computer. So we
All
better
right.
wrap this up.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Pens and Stuff podcast. We appreciate you joining us. We will be releasing new episodes every Saturday up until the Stanley Cup Final, or if family emergencies or vacation gets in the way, then we won't upload, but we will upload very regularly.
Yes. We're going to try and stay consistent.
Yes.
Yes. Make sure to use the code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook. All those odds we used in this episode were provided by DraftKings, the official sports betting partner of the Pens and Stuff podcast and the Hockey Podcast Network. And until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's freaking go.
It's hockey season, baby.
It is, baby. I love it.
Jiminy Sassafras.
Freaking go. Love it.